Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston. Happy Wedding Wednesday. It is another Wedding Wednesday, so congratulations to all the couples that were engaged this weekend and all the couples that were married this weekend as well. I can't wait to post you guys up on the page as well as on the site. Wow. This month starts our first month of July's hot topics on the show, and the weather is already cooperating by being extremely hot, and I don't know about where you are, but in New York, we're just experiencing multiple thunderstorms. There's a lot of craziness going on out there, but we cannot complain after the crazy, crazy winter that we had. I'm not complaining at all. I will take this heat and the rain over that freezing cold, hail, and everything else that was going on. As you know, we just came off of our month of Men of Leadership, and those were some great shows. I really enjoyed interviewing each and every one of our guests. If you missed any of them, feel free to go into the archives and listen to them. I have posted them in the event as well. And of course, we did ask you for nominations of your own men of leadership. If you knew of a man that you felt was a leader in his personal, professional, and community life, you sent them to us. We have a number of them that we'll be posting up throughout this month on the website. And you're still welcome to send us more. We always love talking about men doing positive things in our communities and in our families. So please don't be afraid to send them to us. Tonight, if you will, tonight I'm so excited to be interviewing for our first Wednesdays. This is our official first Wednesdays Couples in Business, where we're going to be really interviewing couples in business together. It can be done. And I want them to be able to inspire other couples who are thinking about going into business and share their wisdom about how to do it, how they did it, everything that they learned. And tonight's special couple, we have Dr. James Brown and Samaj Brown, who have a wonderful, wonderful way of teaching families about healthy eating. I'm not even going to call it healthier. Everyone kept trying to tell me, say healthier. And I'm like, no, we're going to just call it healthy eating because that is what it should be. So to all of you out there, if you would like to call in, give us about a half an hour to talk and get to know the couple. The number is 347-996-3160. And if you just want to press the number 1 for a question or a comment, if you just want to listen, you can do that too. So hot topics, couples in business, Dr. James Brown, Samaj Brown, and we're going to be talking about their wonderful, wonderful company, Planted Kingdom. I'm not even going to delay it anymore. Why don't we just go ahead and bring them in to introduce themselves? Hello, are you there?
Hello, Cynthia. How are you doing?
Hello. How are you? How's everybody?
Oh, we are wonderful. We're wonderful. Welcome to Tribal Wisdom. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having us. This is great.
Yes, it is.
Wonderful, wonderful. I would love for you to talk about who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do, and then we're going to get into talking about, for the second half hour, how it is that you're able to be a couple in business and what it takes to be a couple in business.
All righty. Well, who we are? Darling, who are we?
Well, we're originally from Detroit, Michigan. I graduated from Wayne State University. And Samaj, where did you graduate?
Well, I attended Grambling State University initially. And then I finished at Wayne State University in Detroit, and my undergrad is in biological sciences with an emphasis on chemistry as well as lots and lots of English literature.
I love it.
And so we met in at a coffee house in Detroit. I saw Samaj across the room. I was new to the community. I had just finished medical school. And I said, well, I thought it would be a good idea to try to meet this lady. So I said, sister, don't I know you? And what did you say, Samaj?
No, brother, you do not know me.
You know, mind you, that when you usually meet somebody, and you sort of try to, was it Wayne State University? Was it Grambling? No, it was none of that. It was, no, brother, I do not know you. So I pursued Samaj, and it culminated in her work entitled Wave Rock. She was looking, she's a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not in 4/4 in terms of she was turning a poem into a production with New York fine artist Jasmine Murrell. So she needed someone to help her modulate this into 4/4. And so we spent an entire day going over her work, and Samaj fixed a wonderful meal, a healthy vegetarian meal. I had picked up many bad habits in terms of eating in medical school. I was eating at the fast food restaurants because we had to study so many hours, and you just try to grab something. So Samaj was, I said, you're feeding me, Samaj. You're feeding me. And what I was saying is, you're feeding my soul. You're feeding my life. You're feeding me healthy meals to save my life. I used to have chest pain because I was 300 pounds at that time. And during our early part of our marriage, Samaj helped to heal me. I tell people often, she saved my life. I'm the doctor, but she saved my life.
I love this healthy
eating regimen. And so that's my perspective. What is your perspective, Samaj?
Oh, well, it sounds pretty accurate to me. It's just I remember when he said, don't I know you, sister, and I insisted very quickly, no, brother, you don't know me. But then we kept kind of circling one another in the literary poetry artist community. And I would see him, and he would see me, and we weren't courting at that time. We weren't dating or anything like that. He would say, hello, Samaj, and I had a poetry book out.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I would always say, I don't have any money for your book, Samaj. I didn't know what to say. So maybe 15 different times, every time I saw her, I'd say, Samaj, I can't buy your book right now.
And I thought to myself, I said to my girlfriend, I said, darling, should I give him this book? And I didn't let her answer. I said, no, I'm not giving him anything. I'm not giving him a book. He should be able to buy a book. And I said, no, I'm not giving him a book. And so what it was is I liked him, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't know, I wasn't conscious of it. And he liked me, but we weren't conscious of it at the time. Well, it was after that first rehearsal. It lasted about 4 hours, didn't it, darling?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it lasted about 4 hours. I knew then, Cynthia, that he was the one. Eh? I knew he was the one. And he was playing, he was in Flint, Michigan, which is about an hour and 15 minutes from Detroit. And he would come to Detroit, and he's a drummer. He's a musician. See, this is what's so wonderful about this. We're both artists.
Yes.
And we're both science people. So, as I said, my undergrad is in biology. My husband's an MD. He's a visual artist.
Mm-hmm.
And a wonderful visual artist, and outside of, and he's a drummer. He's a percussionist. So what we have done is combine our life, our art, and our science. And in fact, after we did wed, there was a which came first? Was it the book? The sea? Are we talking about Ice Storm, darling?
Ice Storm. Oh no! Yep. I had never painted anything before, but one day Samaj was sitting in our living room, and it might have been the cast of the light or something, but I went and I said, I'll be back, baby. I went and got some drawing materials, some paper, and I sketched her. And that was the beginning of my visual arts, I won't call it a career, but in terms of me doing some visual art.
Your foray into visual. Now yeah. you've exhibited and everything. And my mother, who's a great art person, we saw this work. And I said, I didn't know you were an artist. He said, I'm not. I just started this. And I was like, wow, we were crazy. And for a long time, he didn't believe it. He didn't believe he was an artist. But clearly, you know, it's clear now.
Well, the thing about it, it didn't seem to matter what I did. You know, in fact, one day I took an index card and some petals of a rose and just sort of the color of the petals I put out on the index card and brought it in, and they were exclaiming, oh, that's great! I said, I know these folks are out of their minds. I'm not listening to either one of them. You see, Tamara grew up in the museum. You know, she, and when I say grew up, every day she tells me, well, how did you do that at DIA?
The Detroit Institute of Arts, my mother was one of the founders of Friends of African Art, mm-hmm. an auxiliary, you know, in the 60s, they did not have an auxiliary. They had modern art, and they had oceanic art, and all European art. But they wanted to establish an African art auxiliary. And my mother was one of the founders. So she spent so much time at the Detroit Institute of Arts. And as a young child, I was there with her. So I literally grew up, you know, in the museum, around the arts, and that's what my husband is referring to. And so it's just been a wonderful journey, and we're still on this journey.
Yeah. Yes. So the piece. Yes, Cynthia.
No. I was gonna say it sounds like such a wonderful journey to be able to meet someone, have very similar interests, more than similar, but the same between the arts and the sciences, and then of course the hot attraction between you two that you kept denying for a time.
That's true.
Yeah,
I think that is so wonderful. And now that you've come together, you've created this movement together.
Yes.
Yes.
What my husband asked me after we were married is that I'm also an educator. So I was a science teacher, high school science teacher for a long time, and I wrote curriculum. And all of my curriculum for science, for my biology classes, always combined art. And we used to do bio art, and we used to look at the cell. We would do sculptures or something hands-on. And so once we were married, my husband said, baby, I want you to help me. Help me get the word out about obesity. And I thought, I don't know how to help him because I'm an educator, I workshop, I teach teachers, I'm an artist, a writer, you know, I've had extensive violin lessons, but I'm no healthcare person, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't have the background in healthcare. So I asked him, I said, what do you mean? How can I help you? He said, well, you have a way to configure things the way, and so people will get it. And so I said, And I thought to myself, and I said, well, what I'm going to do is cook. So I cooked all the favorites. I cooked salmon and chicken, and I had biscuits and gravy and rice and rolls, and we just had everything.
And after I ate all of that, I sat back in the chair, all 300 pounds of me, and patted my belly full. And she said, did you enjoy that? I said, yeah, it was great. You know, I feel like a king. She said, that's good, because as of tomorrow, we are vegetarians.
Wow.
I said, what? I said, what about the leftovers? She said, you better eat it now, because tomorrow we are vegetarians. And so that began the road right there, you know. And later on, we had radio shows here in this area. I had a couple radio shows, and on one of the radio shows, there was a segment, "What's for Dinner, Mrs. Brown?" I used to say, "What's for dinner, Mrs. Brown?" And Samaj did her research in terms of all of the different dishes that she made. And from that segment grew Feast, Samaj's book, Feasts and Fables from the Planet Kingdom. Isn't that right,
Mary? Yeah, that's right, darling. It was very retro. We thought we'd have some fun. And so, like, the intro was, Dr. Brown was saying, "What's for dinner, Mrs. Brown?" And I was like, "Good tasting, delicious." So it was very retro, kind of 50s. And then one day, I didn't have an opportunity to do the research regarding the vegetables. Something had happened, some kind of emergency. And so, you know, the show must go on. It's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're on the air. And so I was, "What's for Dinner, Mrs. Brown?" was playing, and quite spontaneously this character was formed. And her name was Mrs. Brown. And she said something like, but her voice was 2 octaves above my own, right? And she said, "Oh, Dr. Brown, you won't believe what happened to me. I was detained in the garden by these onions. They were very, very, it was a ruckus bunch." And she goes on to tell the story about how she was in the garden getting ready to pick the vegetables for the show and prepare this dinner when the onions attacked her. And so that was the beginning of, wow, the book.
The one-woman show.
Yes, exactly, Onion Revolt.
Well, we left out a couple things there,
okay.
A couple steps. That was the beginning of your book, Feast and Fables from the Planet Kingdom.
Right.
Then,
right.
You know, in the process of writing the book, you know, different things were happening, and this was outside of Samaj's genre. Samaj was, what was your genre before?
Well, I'm a poet, and so I'm a Broadside Press poet. Broadside Press is the oldest continually operating African-American press that publishes poetry in the United States. It was the first, it was founded by Dudley Randall in 1965, and it was the first press to publish people like Sonia Sanchez, Nikki
mm-hmm.
Giovanni, Etheridge Knight, Gwendolyn Brooks, Hakeem Mahabuti, then known as Donnell Lee. And so that was, that's the literature, that's part of the literature that my mother read and I read as a child. And so I'm a Broadside Press poet, and I had a great deal of revolutionary, womanist, sensitive, wonderful poetry. So now I'm writing fantasy in Feasts and Fables with the Planet Kingdom, because the way the book is laid out, there's a fable, a fantasy fable of vegetables, and then there's two recipes. And then there's a fable and two recipes. And people on the air really wanted to have it recorded. So we recorded the CD, and more characters were born. And now, Cynthia, you're right, the one-woman show. That's what's happening right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Onion Revolt. Where my
Onion
husband
Revolt.
My husband is a composer, and the music is threaded throughout, and there's all these different characters, and there's a plot. Mrs. Brown's still in the garden. But she runs into a lot of different characters. There's a gangster vegetable smuggler.
And what we do is we utilize art and science to educate. The bottom line is our communities are affected by high blood pressure,
yes.
Stroke, heart attack, diabetes, more so than any community. And the thing about our community in the larger sense, is that a lot of this is due to the foods that we eat. Now, you know, most of us grew up eating pork, you know, sometimes chitlins, pig's feet, everything because of our southern heritage. But these very foods are high in salt, high in fat, and these are the salt and the fat. And the sugar, these are destroyers of good health. And so it's a tradition to want to eat well, but we want to carry out the message of you can eat well, but you should be healthy. And Samaj didn't mention this, that her recipes, the two recipes which accompany each fable, she created. It's not, you know, she created the recipes also. So it's all original. It's all original art. And it's quite wonderful, I do say.
Oh, thank you, darling. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, what we believe that art opens the heart. So we have barriers to lifestyle change. After a while, people just shut down, and they don't want to hear about the calories. They don't want to hear about heart disease and diseases. And so you could preach to them all day long, the Drug Administration, the National Institute of Health, the Centers for Disease Control can send all this out all the time. And people, after a while, just have a blind, you're just blind to it. But when you put art in it, art opens the heart, and those barriers fall. And after we did the show on April the 26th, people were coming up to us telling us about they're never going to eat another potato chip again. They're throwing the potato chips out because of the character. There's a character called Miss Potato Chip, and she chronicles what happened to her as a potato. She's Southern, and she'll say, those monsters skinned me alive. And then she talks about how they skinned her alive and how they knifed her into thin, emaciated slices. And then they took her and they threw her into boiling hot grease. And she talks about that. And so the kids love it. The adults love it. And we're just very, very grateful that we're able to affect so much change. Because we've changed ourselves. I've lost 120 pounds. My husband's lost 75 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so this change we can, you know, impart because we're part of it. We're part of it, yes.
No, I love that. I love that you actually went through the change yourself. You went through those changes of what types of food you eat. And I think, did you say you studied biological chemistry?
Yes, yes.
So you were also able to really explain what happens to the body when we ingest certain foods, the changes that happen to the food when we decide to fry them or cook them in a manner that takes out all of the living and life juice out of it.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that's absolutely wonderful that you were able to do this. And then you said that you have your audience loved it, you know, that you are actually educating people about this without them having to have to just sit down and read the book itself. You are really opening their eyes, opening their hearts with art.
Yes, it's a lot of fun, and people were so receptive. I was shocked at the amount of laughter. It was almost like a laugh track in the theater. They were laughing and laughing over and over again, and standing ovations. And we're just really grateful. It's just wonderful.
And the children, there were audience members who brought their children and grandchildren. They were laughing right along with everybody else. In fact, one of your friends, Rita, said, "What show can you go to where a grandmother and her grandchildren can have an equally great time?" And so that was a revelation to us also.
Yes, it was. She said, because, you know, her granddaughter is 15.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're at the age of 15, sometimes you don't want to go to what your grandmother wants to go to and
right.
Vice versa. But they both loved it equally. And so that was really, it was wonderful. Really, wonderful.
Tell me a little bit about, the characters got started. You really did this on the radio. But when you started to bring it to the stage, let's talk about that process, because I think that at that point that could be where the business really began to form. When you decided to take this to a stage, did you approach a theater to do this, or did a friend say, come on and do this at our church? How did you go about transitioning the radio show and your knowledge and your education onto stage?
Well, let me see. We started, initially I didn't plan to do a one-woman show, did I, darling?
No, not initially.
No, initially I did not. I was going to write this for some people, a couple, maybe a group of four, but it didn't work out. And we wanted to get some sponsorship and some backing for this show. And so people kept falling out. Somebody broke their leg. Somebody else got sick. And I said, well, you know what? I got a little tired of starting over. And I said, yeah, I know these characters. I can do them all. And mm-hmm. that's how it started, with me writing a script for myself, doing all the characters. And then it grew, because first it just wasn't a full script. It was just a minuscule script, just a pilot. And I went from different groups, putting this pilot on, and a good friend, Valinda, and her husband, they have a large home, and they invited us to come to their home while we would cook the meals. So Valinda and I would cook the food out of the book. This is a great question, Cynthia. Valinda and I would cook the food out of the book and then invite people over to see a pilot, just a short part of the show. And mm-hmm. so what happened is I was developing the show, and people loved it. They loved the show, and they loved the food. And so we were exposing them. And then sometimes Dr. Brown would come in, and he would talk about, they would answer questions. He was about the medical part of it. So we had four groups that really worked with us. It was the Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, State of Michigan.
The Pierians.
Yes, the Pierians, Inc., the Lynx Incorporated, and there was another group, St. Luke's New Life Center.
Yeah.
So three of them are national organizations, but they had their chapters here, and they loved it so much. They said, when are you going to do this as a full show?
And the thing about it, Cynthia, let's see, maybe what, 6 weeks prior to the the premiere.
Right.
Samaj had spoken with him, had gotten a referral for a pianist who had much experience in the entertainment business. In fact, who did she work with at one time?
Well, she was Barbara Streisand's accompaniment.
But she couldn't, it didn't work out in terms of scheduling. And so Samaj, I guess, was looking for someone to help her with the music. And I don't know how I got pulled into this, but I ended up having to get a lot of different instruments because there are many layers to Onion Revolt, and the characters are all very distinct. So I had to, I had my djembes, I had my congas, but I had to get my keyboard situated, the balafone. Samaj wanted a gong. We had to get a gong. And about 10 or 11 different instruments, along with a kalimba.
And get this, Cynthia. Okay, there's a section in there where Mrs. Brown falls into squash sauce. The squashes are after her. It's mm-hmm. a very perilous time in the show, and we don't know if Mrs. Brown is going to survive the squash sauce. Because I'm telling you, the vegetables are outraged. They're outraged. People will not eat them. That's one of the bottom lines, you know.
People
are not eating vegetables, and vegetables are protesting. They're on the march. Because you know it's twofold. They get their second life through us by being eaten. Right.
Oh,
so,
I love that.
Isn't that cool? And so, yeah. So my husband, there was this. He came up with this song called "The Squash Sauce Blues." Right.
Yes.
I thought Mrs. Brown was stuck. The character was. She's a reporter. She's a embedded reporter in the planted kingdom. Okay. She's the only one who speaks plant. The only human. The only two-footed that speaks plant. Now, Delta Brown came up with the song "The Squash Sauce Blues" that she sings, and he whips out. We're in rehearsal at home. He whips out his harmonica and starts playing the blues. And I said, I went right with it. You know, when you're in the moment of creativity, go right with it, and we brought the song. Later, I said, baby, honey, I didn't know you played the harmonica. He said, I don't.
I got in that on a whim, really, because I said, I don't know what she's going to come up with, you know. You know, the next thing is I've got this accordion. In fact, we were talking the other day.
Yeah, he's got an accordion now. It's
sitting,
great.
Sitting right over there.
It's so great. That's perfect. I said, darling, I know exactly what. And see, the music is threaded in, so it's interpretive, you know. So in case, let's say, Mrs. Brown is doing a funny walk, and then he will be playing the balafon to that walk. So that's how it all came to be in the Flint Youth Theater, which is heavily recognized theater program throughout the country. When the director of the artistic director saw aspects of it at Belinda's house, when we were doing a pilot, he was shocked. He was really sharp, and they said, oh, yes, we want to host this.
I think we would be remiss in just mentioning Belinda. It's Belinda and her husband.
Belinda and Dr. McKenna.
Right, Dr. McKenna.
That's
right.
Yes, they were so instrumental.
Yes, they are.
Well, you know what? I just want to stop you for a moment just to remind our listeners that we're talking with Dr. James Brown and Samaj Brown. They are the arts and sciences couple in business because of their backgrounds. They have a background in education. They were educated in Samaj and biology and the sciences, and Dr. Brown is an MD. And along with that, they also have a wonderful, wonderful artistic streak, I want to say, that they have combined in order to teach people and teach families how to be healthy. What I love about what they're doing is that they are absolutely right. It is rarely a thing that you can go to where your generations can come together and find entertainment that they can enjoy together, and they have come together to do this, and I am so thrilled to be speaking with them. I'm already wondering about, you know, the squash sauce blues. I can't wait to hear this. I got to find out where I'm going to be hearing the squash sauce blues. And it's just so wonderful that they have been able to create characters to educate families. And so far, the thing that I've learned so far that's just so wonderful that Samaj just said was that vegetables get their second life through us. And I can't wait to talk more about this. Again, if you have any questions or comments for our guests tonight, please give us a call, 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 if you have a question or a comment, or if you just want to listen, that's fine too. And I see that we already have someone on the air that has something to either say or ask of you, so I'm going to go ahead and bring them in, if you don't mind.
Oh, great. We'd love to talk to people. That's what we do.
Wonderful, wonderful. The last 4 digits are 7181. You are on the air with Tribal Wisdom. Hello.
Hi, Cynthia. It's Gail Roddy here.
Hi, Gail. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And these two are just delightful, just absolutely delightful. Oh, I'm
Thank
just so
you.
Excited to hear about this. And I just have a question. So you reach out to sororities and fraternities and things like that, I guess I'm understanding. But how is it that you get the whole family? I guess maybe I missed that. I was just so excited to hear about it. I probably missed that. Because I'm wondering if it's your experience that it's easier to reach the children, that meaning someone under 25 as opposed to those of us old folks. What is your experience with that?
Well, you know, I've done workshops all over this county, from schools to senior citizen places, community centers, as well as churches, everywhere. And,
oh, that's wonderful.
So in this workshopping, we find my husband's a family physician. So what we do really is target the family. The
mm-hmm.
children will take it home to their parents when I'm in the schools, that's for sure. But it's nothing like getting the family, the children, the mother, the father, the grandmothers, everybody there in that workshop or listening to that performance or engaged, because the light bulb goes on for the entire family. It's this kinetic connection. And it's really, so we see that families, that's our target population, families. So all of those sororities or those different groups, they're made up of families. So all the families came out to the show. Mm-hmm. And usually when I'm workshopping, primarily it's women. Now in my husband's practice, he uses art because he's a visual artist. He uses art to help heal his patients as well. So he's working with the entire family, and he works more with the men.
Yes. What I found in the medical practice is we have not only the art that I do, but we have prints and art from visual artists that are well known nationally and internationally. And the patients are in the waiting room, and they're discussing if they're, say, for instance, looking at an abstract expressionist piece. It takes their mind off of the angst and the fear that most people feel sitting in that waiting room before they have to speak with the doctor. So they'll say, you know, I saw this or that in this piece, and then we'll get around to their concerns. But it's within a framework of being of relaxation, and we have a written contract in terms of before they leave, what are their goals? What are their health goals in the interim time before they leave? But we arrive at this station through the art, and so it goes right along with what Samaj is doing, what we're doing with her show, Onion Revolt. We find that when we did our health fairs, the Freedom from Fat health fairs, we found that people gravitated to the artistic component of what we do, and we decided to use the art as a vehicle to help people learn more about diseases that are very serious and to live a healthy life. Don't be in a preventive mode. Prevent the heart disease. Prevent the high blood pressure. Prevent the diabetes. Prevent these things where you're not dealing with everybody standing around the bed in the hospital and wishing things weren't this way because of strokes and other things. So we're about prevention, and that is one of the cornerstones of what we do as health collectors, and the Planet Kingdom Project and Onion Revolt is the thing that we're, the phase that we're working on right now, which is Samaj's One Woman Healthy Comedy.
Wow. That is so impressive.
See, now I'll teach you to ask other questions. You see what happens?
Oh no, I think it's so very intriguing, and especially from what I'm hearing is that you are reaching our people through art as opposed to through dry education of medical things. That's
I
what
agree
I'm
with
hearing.
You, Gail.
That they resonate. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I absolutely agree with you, Gail, and I think that is one of the key components to how they are getting the youth, and as you said, because I think men are just as hard to talk to when it comes to health. They can be very stubborn. So
yes.
Being able to use art as the key component to pull people in and enjoy listening to ways to change their life, I think that you guys are just off the chain awesome.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you so much. Me too. Like, you know, in workshops, we'll do, we use clay. You know, we use clay to help people mold their image. And before and after, pre and post, when we go through the workshops, I have a workshop called Mrs. Brown's Butterfly Building, where I take women through the different stages of using the butterfly as a metaphor, from the egg all the way to the monarch. And all these stages along the way, they are transforming and losing weight, not just pounds, but losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we say. And so that
mm-hmm.
we don't remain caterpillars. Just, you know, there's nothing wrong with a caterpillar, but it's something wrong with being a caterpillar if you're supposed to have wings and fly.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, so that's what I do. It's this long, it's an extensive program, but many women have lost quite a lot of weight, and I'm really happy for that. Right now, it's just wonderful to be able to do something like that.
It is. It's
wonderful.
Building. Why don't you tell them just a little bit more about that, because that's so important.
Well, let me see. We want to.
In terms of you have a Bill of Rights, a Bill of
Flights. Oh, yes. Well, Butterfly Building has a constitution, a Bill of Flights, a constitution, the Pledge of Allegiance, and there are all these lessons and workshops and an actual glossary. There's a parlance, there's jargon, we created a language for Butterfly Building so people could, you know, speak the language of freedom, of flying. And
re-imaging through journaling part of
that? Re-imaging through journaling is very important. Re-imaging through journaling is where you journal along with the treasure mapping, along with the making of your own mold, the clay, and it's just mask making, and you see yourself evolve over a period of whatever, how many weeks you're in this process. Yes. So.
Wonderful, wonderful. You were saying?
My husband said something.
I said a lot of women have been helped. In fact, not everybody can lose weight the same way, or not everyone can be healthy in the same manner. Some people are very insular in terms of they don't need a buddy to meet them at the gym, or they don't need to journal. But most people need support. They need help. So in Butterfly Building, Samaja's Butterfly Building, which she created, is a wonderful program. I've had patients where they've been recalcitrant. Nothing that I did in the practice would help, you know, give them the literature. They've been to our Freedom from Fat conferences, the two conferences that we've had. They've been to Onion Revolt. And I said, Samaj, I think this is a candidate for Butterfly Building. So in groups of, what's your largest group?
Well, we do one-on-one sometimes. We can do groups as large as 20 or more, something like that, or groups of 3 and 5. The thing that makes it unique is hands-on. You know, because I have a background as a science teacher, everything is hands-on. Everything is creative. I see no difference between the arts and the sciences. Mm. They're just expressions of the same thing. So I bring that to every single thing I do because I don't know how to do it any other way. I don't know another way. I had a science kit in the basement when I was 8, 9 years old. I was also reading literature and playing the violin. So obviously something happened in my brain where they fused together. And so that's just the lens that I look out of.
So math and music are all the same?
Math and music, literature, it's all the same. It's all the same.
Yes, yes. And you guys have really, I mean, I'm actually getting much more information than I expected to about the things that you're doing, because you are literally working together not just for this particular theme or this show, but you work together of helping people getting healthy with Dr. Brown's practice. Whoever he feels like is not being helped with his initiatives, he sends them over to you. And
yes,
through art and journaling and all the other things, you find a way to help them. So I think that is a perfect lead into our Couples in Business segment, which I would love to ask you a few questions about. How is it that you are able to partner together to do this? What are some of the elements that help you make this successful?
Well, and from my perspective, it's mutual. We have, in addition to our great love for one another, our mutual respect. And say, for instance, we're co-founders of Health Collectives, which has the Planet Kingdom, and there are many other things, but we'll just concentrate on that. And so, say, for instance, if I have an idea that makes some sense, you know, which happens now and again.
You're so funny, honey.
Well, Samaj will incorporate that. Or it, when it's Samaj, you know, so it's whomever is able, you know, we may disagree in terms of a different course of action, but whomever is able to persuade the other in terms of why this would be a course of action versus the other course of action,
okay.
It usually comes about, you know what, I say, baby, I can see your point. All right, this is what we'll do. And so we begin each day in prayer, and we end each day in prayer. And the words thank you and I love you are so important in terms of any marriage, but especially in a business relationship, because everyone wants to feel appreciated. Everyone wants to feel that they matter. Everyone wants to feel that they're loved by their mate. And so you can't separate, you can't have one hat on. Okay, we're in a business and our marriage is separate. So what we do is we'll take, say, for instance, if we come to an impasse in terms of a particular direction, we'll take a road trip. We'll get in the car and drive, and we discuss things on the way. I love to drive. And
I love to ride.
And you love to ride, and Samaj loves to talk. I love to listen. So it's perfect.
I make my notes, Cynthia. I have notes. And my husband will look at the plan and he'll go, oh, boy, because he sees all these notes.
Yeah.
I said, darling, I'm on number 9. You have 19.
Oh, wow. So communication
well,
is
part
big.
Of what we, you know, what do you think of?
Pose the question again, Cynthia.
How is it that we can be successful?
Yeah, the elements.
Business?
I wanted to know about the elements, and part of what you said so far is to have great love and mutual respect, which I find fantastic, a fantastic thing to say. And then you said to begin each day in prayer and to end each day in prayer, which is another. I love to listen to spiritual couples talk about the things that they do together, and praying is big, I find, as one of the things that they do together. And then, of course, you said, make sure that you're saying thank you and make sure that you're saying I love you every day. So those are the three things that Dr. Brown said so far. And you kind of each are talking about the way that you communicate together. So why don't you go ahead and just expand on that a little bit about your communication style?
Well, because of the type of, this might help other couples, because of the type of profession my husband has, dealing constantly with life and death issues, stretches of the hospital, on and on, insurance company, it just goes on and on. I have to modulate, I have to find the time, I have to be disciplined. You know, I may have something I really want to tell him straight away, right now. He's walking in the door. He's exhausted. It's not the time. You know, this is about having some discipline, and you just can't. So you select the time to talk, because the point of talking is to be heard. So why select a time where you won't be heard? That's the whole point of communication, is understanding, not just to talk. It's for understanding. So when we're on the road and we have a chance to talk, that's the time I know I will be heard. That's why I make a list. See, that list
that.
me containing myself. You know, I've decided to wait, because what I have to say is important. And I want it to be listened to. And what he has to say is important. So I think that's one of the key things. And then you know what? Atmosphere. Atmosphere is everything. Because if your atmosphere isn't correct, everything follows. In the morning, the first thing, I was very shocked, the first thing my husband says to me, as soon out of his mouth, the very first thing is, good morning, beautiful. That is every single day. Not am I late for work, what time is it, nothing. The very first thing is good morning, beautiful.
And the very first thing you say to me is?
Good morning, handsome.
That's right.
I love it. So the atmosphere, you already begin your day with an atmosphere of love and appreciation and affirmation to one another.
Yeah, yeah, that's well said, Cynthia. Good. I mean, you're so good. Yes. Yes, that's what it does. Yes, yes. Because he started it. So when he said, "Good morning, beautiful," I was in shock a little bit, you know. And I thought, the appropriate response, "Good morning, handsome." And it's continued every day of our life together.
Yes, and also, Cynthia, we make up our own holidays. was it the 20 days in May?
That's right.
Oh. During the 20 days in May,
Okay, this is so much fun. Okay, most of my husband's idea. So we're going to have 20 days in May. That was our holiday. It was called 20 days in May. And every one day he gave me a gift. The next day I gave him a gift, and it went on for 20 days. And we never knew what we were giving one another, and it really pushed, because you're still working, all right? So you still have the stresses of the day. And so it pushes you to really focus on gratitude for your mate. You know, it's such a concentrated period of time. So I ended up doing some art for him that's hanging in his office.
Right,
it's called Eternal Love. And he gave me so many other things. And so sometimes you look around the house and say, "Where did this come from?" I said, "Honey, that was from 20 days in May."
Right.
Yeah. That was really...
So it's important for married couples or for couples in business to incorporate things that are just theirs, that have a project. In terms of, don't let the business overtake the marriage, because or the relationship. Don't let that happen. You know, and also it's important to work together, to organize your days. Say, for instance, if this is the business is a second business and you're both working other jobs, well, you have to. I tell patients this all the time. You have to schedule some me time, but in this case, you have to schedule some us time. You can't let the job or the business overtake the love that you have for one another.
Yes, and it doesn't always go smoothly, because sometimes you may have an idea and you go to your spouse and they may not see it. So I want to hear what you have to say, darling.
Okay.
I suggest that you frame it a different way. My husband is so successful with having an idea that I say, "I don't think that's a good idea, darling. I don't think this is the time for it, darling." I think we should, and you know, he will return with that idea, and he will return with that idea at different times. And he's a master at framing it a different way, you know. And I say to myself, this is the same idea. This is the same thing. Coming back in different clothing. I can tell this is the same thing.
Wow. Well,
that's from being a family physician. Sometimes the patients don't give the answer that I think is the real answer. So I'll return to it later in the conversation. Just maybe changing it around a little bit or using a metaphor or something. And I guess I'm using that also here.
Yes, Johnny.
That's where it's coming from.
That's right.
You know, I'm listening to you guys talk about couples in business, and I'm telling you, I can't tell the difference between a business and the business of love. I think you guys are still just talking about love. it doesn't even sound like business.
You know, we love the business because the business we're doing helps to transform lives, because it's helped to transform our lives. So we love the business because if we don't attend to the business, you know, the nuts and bolts, the finance of it and so forth, then we won't be able to reach the people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that is important.
Yes, that's our major goal is to... Our goal in terms of Health Collectors and Onion Revolt, you know, we've affected change in the community in which we live. When we first started this, we live in the Midwest. It's not like New York or L.A. or places like that. It's a different is a different, what's the word you use, cosmology.
A cosmology.
It's a different cosmology.
It's a different cosmology.
And so the thing is that we've helped people here, and we find it so enjoyable to, in terms of this interview, we know that you're, well, we think you're out of New York anyway, but we're reaching a national audience and carrying the word in a different way, and we really appreciate you having us on the show, Cynthia.
Yes, we really do.
I can't tell you how. I mean, I knew you guys were coming on. We had not spoken before the show. Sometimes I actually speak to my guests before they come on the show, but we had not spoken. And even though I really didn't know what to expect, I am so overjoyed at everything that I learned from both of you this evening, not just about your company, but about the way you manage your company and the way that you manage your marriage. It is a breath of fresh air and very encouraging for me.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, believe it or not, we've got 3 minutes left. It always goes so quickly.
Wow. It goes quickly.
Yeah, you know, the last time I looked at the clock, it was 10 o'clock. I don't know where the last 30 minutes went.
Exactly. Now,
this has been so much fun, and we do thank you for having us on. And
you're welcome.
We're just excited.
I don't want you to feel rushed at all, because even though there's 3 minutes left, we can actually talk for as long as you need to. My show has been known to go over time because people always say, you know, I didn't think it was going to go that quickly, and now there's so much more that we can say. So we're going to talk until you're finished, and I just love the information that you're giving out, specifically that you incorporate things that are just yours into your marriage that are outside of the business in order to maintain a wonderful relationship. I think that that's awesome, and I'm sure that whoever is going to be hearing this on the show is going to get so much from that.
Yes, we believe so. We believe so. Personally, when you said it doesn't seem like we're talking about business or that we're talking about love, and maybe that is the key in terms of...
Maybe so, darling.
Maybe Cynthia hit right on it in terms of it's all part of the same thing. It's maybe sort of like your paradigm of math and different music being all the same.
Yes.
Maybe the key is that the foremost principle of any business is the business of love. The business of love. I think that's the way you said it. The business of love.
Yeah, the business of loving. It is so important. I know that it's a big component for what I do. I love what I do. I love being able to learn. I have these interviews because I'm sitting here learning, not because I know, but because I want to be able to absorb the wisdom that people are willing to share with me. And, you know, I love what I do with my magazine. So I'm in total agreement with you that the business of loving is the true business, like the first business that you're coming together to do.
Yes, Cynthia, sometimes I've been known to ask certain questions.
Mm-hmm.
You and the listening audience have learned a lot about us. Can you tell us something about Bridal Tribe and tell us about your journey? And tell us about Cynthia W. Is it Cynthia W.? Yeah, Cynthia W. Tell us about yourself and Bridal Tribe.
Wow. Okay. I'm being interviewed on my own show. I don't know how to deal with that.
But it's Dr. Brown. He interviews everybody because he's a doctor. That's what he does. Because you're doing such a fabulous job, and this is such an anointed work. I mean, when we first heard about it, Bridal Tribe, it's such a unique name in itself.
It is.
It's unique. And then the name of your radio show. I mean, it's all so wonderful, and this is what we need. We need this type of togetherness. We need this type of love. You know, we counsel couples that are in trouble, and so many times people are in trouble because they're lacking skills. And these are the same skills we use in our relationship, are the same skills that we use in business.
Exactly.
They have the same skills. So we consult one another when major decisions are to be made. We don't make them without consulting each other.
Right.
So I will run it. I'll say I have to run this past my business partner, and I talk around, and he will do the same thing. So how did you come to Bridal Tribe? That is so beautiful.
Thank you. Wow. Once again, I'm like, I thought I was going to get out of it, but not really. My name is Cynthia Williamston. I usually just say Cynthia W because people mess up my last name most of the time. And to remind them, I say, you know, my name is not Williamston. It's Williamston with a T. It's T-O-N because ton is the metric weight of the gifts that God has given me. So I prefer that everyone remember that my last name is Williamston and not Williamston. Bridal Tribe came about because I helped my god sister marry. I helped her with her wedding in 2009. And we went through so much just trying to find a nice hairstyle and a good maid of honor and just different things. And I realized that it really doesn't just take a village to raise a child. It takes a tribe to get people to the altar and through a marriage.
That's true. That's so true.
So Bridal Tribe as a magazine, well, as a web page was born and as a Facebook page was born. And I prayed over it and I asked God about it. And he actually gave me the name Bridal Tribe. And I said if I was going to do the magazine for weddings that I should absolutely have something to balance it out that included marriage support. So then the radio show was born, Tribal Wisdom.
That's fantastic.
thank you. I wanted happily married couples to be able to share at least five pieces of advice to engaged or newlywed couples. And since it was going to be wisdom, Tribal Wisdom was born. And that's really the story in a nutshell.
That's a beautiful story.
It is.
It's a beautiful story. And it has such a path. And it's so... You know, it's like the work we're doing. It's needed. It's needed. People are thirsty. People are starving.
There's not a lot of places for affirmations for black love. You know, the media is created with what is termed the power struggle in terms of everything you see is not affirming relationships and marriage. And so this is... this is a wonderful gift that you've received from God in terms of Bridal Tribe and your mission that you're on. Obviously, you're on a mission, and don't know where, but it will be revealed to you.
Indeed. I thank you for asking me that. You made me kind of rethink about the whole thing again. to make a plan around it. So, wow. Guys, I really have to thank you, Dr. James Brown, Samaj Brown, for coming on to Tribal Wisdom and sharing your gifts, how you got started, how you are an awesome couple in business and working together, and really reiterating that love is the main component. You know, the model to our company is that we are devoted to love. I'm just a little overwhelmed. I'm so happy again that you guys came on today, and I really want to give you my personal thank you for everything that you shared tonight.
Oh, thank you so much. We're so happy
too.
Thank you for sharing about Bridal Tribe, right, darling?
Yeah, this is great.
Great question. Beautiful.
We appreciate the time that you've given us.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Well, I'm gonna put you on the spot. Since you put me on the spot, I'm gonna put you guys right back on the spot. And make sure that I invite you to come back on the show again at some time. When you have some more time, I would love to have you guys back on the show to really tell us more about where we can find your materials. I want to know when you're going to be having another show. If you still have archives of the original radio show, please let us know where we can find them. I would love to post them into the events as well as on my page and let people know about it. So I'm inviting you back on the show. I hope you do accept.
Let me handle this, baby. we have many prior commitments. No.
This is my husband's sense of humor. We would be honored to come back on the show. He's just laughing and having a good time.
Boy.
Thank you so very much. And
well, you can go to our Facebook page. That's the first place. Our website is under construction.
What is the Facebook page, darling?
It's Planet Kingdom. Planet Kingdom, right?
Right. It's Planet Kingdom.
Planet Kingdom.
It's Planet Kingdom.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Planet Kingdom.
It's a Planet Kingdom project.
Yeah, Planet Kingdom project.
It's a Planet
right,
Kingdom project.
Right,
that's
right.
Our Facebook page.
That's the first place. And then what we'll do is we'll forward you the archival material from the original show.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I don't know if you have Samantha's book. I have an e-book out called Myself Healing, Dr. James Brown Breaking It Down. We'll just send you
And then you can get Feast and Fables from the Planted Kingdom on Amazon.
Amazon, and it's actually also on Barnes and Noble.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll forward
send it to me. Please. I definitely want to let my listeners know about all that you're doing. I want them to know about the books and everything and let them know where they can find you. So please do send them to me so I can share them with everyone as well as on the website. And, wow, again, I'm so grateful that you guys were on tonight. I enjoyed you.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.
We enjoyed the interview.
This has been wonderful. It's absolutely marvelous.
Thank you. Well, listeners, there you have it. We had Dr. James Brown and Samaj Brown come on and talk about couples and business. And they, you know what, they're just having way too much fun for me. They are having... They have nothing but fun and love in what they do, and that is such a wonderful example, and I hope to be able to do that myself one day. So wonderful. We thank them for coming on. And listen, please come back again with us next week. You know, this is our month of hot topics. This is the hot topic month, so we're going to be talking about multiple things, many things that you want to know about, including, you know, I got to get to my own flyer. So that I know what we're going to talk about. But I know that we're going to be, at the end of the month, we're going to be talking about loving yourself authentically with Carol Atkins. I don't want you to miss that. Next week, we're going to be talking to attorney Melissa Grayson about the business of co-parenting, and that's for parents and step-parents to learn how to really get along for the children and really be able to come together, collaborate, and raise children together. So please join us next week for the business of co-parenting. And then in two more weeks, we're going to be talking to Coach Danae Macklin about infidelity recovery as well as infidelity prevention. These are our hot topics. We can't wait to have you back. As you know, Bridal Tribe is a company about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun. We hope to see you again next week. We love you, and stay devoted to love. Good night, everyone.